The Christian life is a good life, is it not? In fact, the Christian life is the very best life that an individual could live. But, my friends, the Christian life is not always an easy life. Oftentimes, the Christian life can be extremely difficult to live, isn't it? You and I are in a war. You and I are in a fight. You or I are in a battle for our lives. And the battle that we are fighting is against our arch enemy known as the devil. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If we are going to win the battle, you and I must develop the quality of strength. I found it interesting that in Larry's prayer, he made mention of that two times. For us to be strong. And the Bible exhorts us to be strong in many places, does it not? 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul, writing to Timothy, told him, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy 2:1. When you and I are strong, we are anchored. When you and I are strong, we are secure. When we are strong, we are steadfast, aren't we? The question is, what is it that makes us strong? And there is a lengthy list of answers to that particular question. And there are some things that almost everybody would agree on immediately and start talking about, such as faith, God's Word, prayer, the church. All of those things are designed to keep us strong, secure, and steadfast in our Christian living, isn't it? But none of those are the title of our lesson this morning. There's something else I want us to talk about that will keep us strong in the faith if we'll truly contemplate it. And very simply, it's this: the consequences of sin. And for the next few moments, we're going to be talking about those consequences and get to the end of the lesson and talk about how those things can truly keep us strong. But let's begin with what I refer to as the what. The what. Now notice the title is The Consequences of Sin. What is a consequence? Dictionary.com defines it as follows: the effect, the result, or the outcome of something occurring earlier. I do something today, and there is something that's going to happen based upon what I have done. A consequence. Now there are four types of consequences that you and I can suffer. One of them is referred to as a natural consequence. What do we mean by that? It is an inevitable result due to my choice or my decision. I decide I want to smoke. And I think I'll smoke 2 or 3 packs a day. Well, some of the natural consequences are breathing problems, high blood pressure, and maybe even cancer. And if you don't believe it, read the pack of cigarettes. It says it, does it not? How about overspending? Is there consequences of overspending? Oh, yes. I can get myself into debt. I don't have any savings. I'm living in poverty. I'll work till I'm 200 because I can't retire. The consequences of overspending. How about this one? Committing adultery. Are there consequences? Oh, yes. This may not be an inevitable consequence, but in many cases it is. The trust has been violated, has it not? And the innocent party who's been sinned against decides, I no longer want to marry or stay married to this individual, and divorce is inevitable. Natural consequences due to my decisions or my behaviors. Secondly, there are logical consequences. A logical consequence is a consequence that is clearly aligned with the choice or the behavior in which I engage. Some examples. A child comes home and doesn't do his homework in the afternoon like he's supposed to. Mama gets home and Mama's not too happy, is she? And so what does Mama say? You cannot watch TV, you cannot play games, you cannot go out with your friends, you cannot get on the computer until what? Until that homework is done. It's a logical consequence. Should have been done when you got home. You missed all those things then, now you've got to miss them since you've refused to do your homework. How about this one? You throw a rock through a window. And your mom and dad say, here's what you've got to do. You've got to work. And I'm going to pay you a quarter an hour until that window is paid for. The cost of windows today, you'd be almost retirement age to get it done. How about this one? Killing a person. Folks, the logical consequence is, guess what? A life for a life, is it not? I take a life from an individual. The consequence logically is that my life is taken from me. A life for a life. Logical consequences. The third type of consequences are what are known as arbitrary consequences. The consequence has absolutely nothing to do with the decision a person makes or the action that a person takes. A child hits another child and he gets timeout or spanking. Timeout, spanking has nothing to do with hitting another child, does it? It's an arbitrary consequence. How about this one? You rob a bank, you get put in jail for 20 years. It's an arbitrary consequence. There's no relationship between the punishment and what's been done. And the same is true even within the church. In the first century church in Thessalonica, there were individuals who thought Jesus was coming again quickly. So they quit their jobs, and when they did, they became busybodies in other people's business. And Paul said to withdraw from them that walk disorderly. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. What does withdrawal have to do with not working and becoming a busybody? It's just an arbitrary consequence, but it is a consequence, is it not? And there's another kind of consequence, and we refer to those as what? Eternal consequences. There's sometimes some things happen in our lives, and folks, that consequence is going to affect me throughout the entirety of eternity. Question, can you reach such a state in your life that you are so hard-hearted that the truth will never impact your life? Absolutely. If you don't believe that, go home this evening and read Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 6. I can become so hard and so cold and so calloused that nobody, not even the truth of God's Word, can melt my heart and bring me to repentance. That's an eternal consequence, is it not? There's some things in which you and I might engage, and all of a sudden it brings me to the very point of death itself. And once I die, my eternal destiny is sealed, isn't it? And then there is also the punishment of hell itself. For those individuals who have committed transgressions against the will of the Almighty God. Eternal consequences. Four different types of consequences that mankind can face. Let's look at the what. What do I mean by that? What is it that brings the consequences into my life? Well, number one, sin can bring the consequence into my life, can it not? That's what we're talking about, the consequences of sin. What is sin? The transgression of law. 1 John 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Folks, sin is evil, isn't it? It involves evil desires, evil deeds, evil designs, evil developments. It is evil. The Bible tells us very plainly that all sin separates man from God. But your iniquities have separated between me, between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. The consequences of what? Of sin. The whats. Let's look at the wheres. Where do we receive the consequences? We can receive them right now, can't we? Sometimes the consequences we receive from bad decisions, bad actions, are just as immediate as they possibly can be. We have an example of that in the Bible of a woman by the name of Lot's wife, don't we? God was going to rain down fire and brimstone upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, their homeland. God comes to Lot and his wife and he says, you flee from this city and guess what you don't do? You do not look back. That was the command, wasn't it? Notice, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, the angel said. But look at verse 26. The Bible tells us, and his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Immediately, that woman suffered the consequences of her sin, didn't she? And sometimes the sins that you and I commit can have immediate consequences to them. But sometimes consequences can be future, can't they? I commit the act now, I do something now, but it may be a long time in my future before that ever has an impact upon me. Used to know a young guy, he was in his late 20s, early 30s. And he smoked about 2 packs of cigarettes a day. He played on a basketball team, and he could run up and down that court with all of them, just as hard as he can go, but he smoked like a smokestack. And you talk to him, and you tell him, look, one of these days, these cigarettes are going to have an impact on you. And he could have cared less about what was going to happen in the future. That wasn't even in his mind. I'm able to do what I want to do right now, and I'm going to enjoy my smoking. Hadn't talked to that guy in the last 30 years. I'd like to know where he is, how his health is, if he's still smoking. There's consequences, aren't there? Sometimes those consequences come in the future. My father started smoking when he was 11 years old and smoked till he died, or at least did the battle with smoking. And guess what he died of? Emphysema. That's what he died of. At the age of 62, never even saw retirement. There's consequences. Oh yeah, he could do it all he wanted to when he was a young man. Never affected him. Worked hard all his life and died at 62 of emphysema. David sinned with Bathsheba, did he not? And ultimately had Uriah the Hittite killed in order to try to cover up that sin. And guess what? Every consequence that he faced was in the future, wasn't it? There were 4 of them. Now, therefore, the sword shall not depart from thine house. And guess what? David became a man of war all his life. The entirety of his reign as the king, he was fighting ungodly nations. The sword will never depart out of your house. Secondly, I will raise up what? Evil against thee from thine own house. We just talked about a man by the name of Adonijah, did we not? And there was another son by the name of Absalom. Both of them rose up in opposition to their father in an attempt to take his kingdom. And those happened years after his sin, didn't it? How about this one? I will take thy wives from before thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor. And he shall what? He shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Absalom did that, didn't he? Right out there on the palace rooftop, committed adultery with David's wives in front of all Israel. Wow. And the child that was born to Bathsheba had to die, and did. 9 years of a pregnancy, 9 months of a pregnancy, maybe a year or two that little baby lived, but that baby eventually had to die. Folks, sometimes the consequences that we face for our sins are far, far, far in the future, aren't they? Sometimes they're not even until eternity. And there, what do we experience? Separation from God. The Bible talks about torments. The Bible talks about fire and flames. We're cast into outer darkness. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is absolutely no relief from the pain and anguish whatsoever, and there is the sting of memory. Die and go to hell and remember a lesson Vic taught about the very thing that put you there. And you have to live with that throughout all eternity. It could have been different. I could have changed. I could have implemented that in my life. I could have been obedient unto God. And I didn't do any of that. And because of that, I will live here in hell forever and ever and ever. And it's all what? It's all my fault. The sting of memory. In the eternal flames of hell. Some consequences are eternal in nature. Who brings these consequences into our life? Well, sin brings consequences, doesn't it? Sometimes it's just the sin itself. Romans 1 verse 27, the last part of that verse says this, and receiving in themselves the what? That recompense of error which was meet. He's talking about the Gentiles. Individuals who had left God, forsaken God, involved in all kinds of sin, all kinds of iniquity. He says they are receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. Do you remember when HIV was a big deal? Don't talk about it like we used to. Still a problem. And all of a sudden we learned out exactly where it came from, how it was transmitted. They were receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat, weren't they? Sometimes sin brings consequences. The use of drugs can bring drug addiction. The use of alcohol can bring alcohol addiction, can it? Sometimes sin is the punisher, isn't it? But sometimes there's others involved in the punishment, isn't there? Parents have been given the responsibility to punish their children. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Parents are encouraged, spare not the rod. Not even for his crying. Thou shalt beat him with a rod. He shall not die. Folks, it's the responsibility of parents to make certain those children are disciplined when they do the wrong type of activities and make wrong decisions. Legal officials, they're supposed to punish, are they not? The Bible tells us very plainly, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. The very reason God put government in place is to reward the good and punish the bad. That's their responsibility, and God will hold them accountable for that. How about this one? Sometimes those who have been sinned against bring the consequences, don't they? You remember two brothers by the name of Simeon and Levi? Their sister by the name of Tamar was raped by a man by the name of Shechem. Then he wanted to marry her. Now all that happened while they were gone in the wilderness. They came back home. They find out about the situation. And guess what? They slew the entirety of that family in anger and in wrath. Sometimes other people can bring consequences in my life because I sinned against them. Can the church bring consequences? Oh, absolutely. In fact, the church is responsible of bringing consequences to sin. And there's at least two avenues that the church has to bring consequences. One is rebuke. The Bible tells us, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. And I'll tell you, it's not the most fun thing to have to be the one doing the rebuking. You know that? But it is the church's responsibility to rebuke sin today. People don't like it. They get upset. They want fluff. Folks, fluff isn't going to save you from your sins, is it? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. There's also the avenue of withdrawal of fellowship, isn't there? Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Romans 16, 17. Rebuke and church discipline, two consequences of sin by others. And then there's also God, isn't there, who can issue forth consequences to sin. The Bible tells us, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I'm never to seek vengeance against someone who's done me wrong. I'll leave that where? I'll leave that in the hands of the Almighty God. That's His duty, that's His responsibility. So there are a lot of individuals who can bring consequences of my sins into my life, including God and who? And the church. Even my own parents can bring the consequences, can't they? The why. This point is almost a repeat of the previous. Why are these consequences coming? Because of the deceptive nature of sin. Sin tells me that this is fun. Sin tells me that I won't get hurt. Sin tells me that I'll have all kinds of friends, that there's all kinds of benefits, and then all of a sudden I have to pay the piper, don't I? And I find out I've been deceived badly. We've already talked about the vengeance of others. Folks, some individuals do not leave vengeance in the hands of God. They're going to get even, regardless, are they not? Especially in an evil world in which we live. How about the commands of God? God commands parents to discipline children, commands the church to discipline those who are in sin, commands governments to carry out punishment against those who are evil and wicked. Why are there consequences? Because God commanded it, that's why. And because of the wrath of the Almighty God, the why. This is the last point of the lesson. I've entitled it The Wisdom. Folks, when you and I sin, there can be consequences, can't there? Remember what we said the title of our lesson is? Strength. How? Through the consequences of sin. You see, there are things that I need to learn by watching others go through the consequence of sin, or by going through the consequences of sin myself. One lesson I can learn is this. If I transgress God's commands, I have a lot to lose. A lot to lose. Don't I? I've just listed a few things. I can lose my good name because of sin. I can lose important relationships in my life. Moms, dads, husbands, wives, children, good friends, all because of sin. I can lose my health. I can lose my life. Watch this one. I can even lose the desires of my life because of my sin. People young in life have all these desires, all these wishes, all their want-tos, and they get involved in sin, and all of a sudden, life changes, doesn't it? And you wake up and you know, I will never, ever fulfill the desires of my life. How sad, isn't it? It's a consequence of sin. I can lose my respect. I can lose my influence. I can lose my eternal reward. When you and I look at the consequences of sin, we need to remember that sin brings loss to our lives. If I can remember that, I may be less prone to sin, mightn't I? How about this next one? It is wiser to stay away from wrongs than it is to commit them and have to suffer. Isn't that true? Why didn't I just do what I'm supposed to do? You ever thought that in your life? Nah, nobody's ever thought that in this audience. It's easier, is it not? Watch this next one. Fear is a healthy emotion at times, isn't it? Before I do something, before I engage in an act, you know what I need to do? I need to remember the consequences of that sin. And sometimes the consequences can scare me to death and keep me from sinning, can't they? It's unbelievable. The Bible tells us, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 11. I love this next point. We must never be deceived into thinking that the benefits of sin will far outweigh the consequences of sin. Yes, that's a deceptive maneuver of the devil, is it not? Y'all remember Eve? Let me ask you something. Did Eve know the consequence of sin? Did she know what God had said about eating the forbidden tree? Yes. Devil comes along, he even asks her, does he not? Hath God said, thou mayest eat of all the trees of the garden? Y'all remember what she said? She knew exactly what God had told her. Notice. And the woman said, we may eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God hath said, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye what? Lest ye die. She knew exactly what the consequences were. Didn't she? She even said it herself. Came out of her own mouth. But she got deceived, didn't she? Boy, that fruit sure does look good. It's got a special design to it. Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. The benefits of the tree far outweighed in her mind what? The consequences that were coming. Wouldn't you like to talk to Eve? Eve, what was it like to have your eyes opened and to know good and evil? What was it like to have severe pain in childbirth? What was it like for the husband to bear rule over you? What was it like to live on a cursed earth? What was it like to be driven from your home in the Garden of Eden into a cursed world? What was it like to lose your first son in death? What was it like to have to face the hour of death knowing that you're the one who brought that on mankind? Here's the question. Was the fruit worth it? Was it worth it? How about this next one? When consequences are delayed, or when others don't experience consequences, folks, we better not be fooled into thinking that those consequences do not exist. Not everyone that smokes develops cancer, do they? I used to tell some folks there was an old man at the Pocahontas congregation. He was the patriarch there. He was about 85, 86 years old. And he had a brother. His brother's like 87 and he smoked. 87 and smoked. When those two brothers would get together, Brother Isom would look at his brother and say, boy, don't you know one of these days them thing gonna kill you? His old brother would look at him and say, I wish you'd tell me when. He's an exception to the rule, though, is he not? He is not the rule. But sometimes we love to look at the exceptions, don't we? And we like to think that we'll be the exception. And Satan wants you to believe that, doesn't he? How about this next one? Are there criminals out there who've committed crimes all their lives and never been caught? Maybe even die and never been caught? Oh, I can be one of those. I'll go rob banks and be rich and never get caught. And there are some. Not many. Folks, here's what we need to remember. There are always eternal consequences to our behaviors, aren't they? I may get away with it here. I may never suffer one consequence for my evil deed here. But guess what? God will bring it to judgment. Isn't that what he says? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. Ecclesiastes 12:14. If I can keep those five lessons in mind, surely I can be a stronger Christian when it comes to my life. We can learn from the past, can't we? If we will. Here's something else. We do not have to repeat the mistakes of the past. We don't have to. We do it a lot, but we don't have to. I love this thought. We can do better, can't we? Or how about this one? We can be better if we don't want to. Dear Christian, where are you in your Christian life? Are you satisfied with it? Are you steadfast? Are you strong? Today, if I had to stand before God in judgment, what would I hear? Well done, or depart from me? Most of us know the answer to that question, don't we? Maybe there's something you need to do in your life to make corrections. Ask God to forgive you. We're here to help you. We can pray with you and for you. If you're not a Christian, we want you to be. The steps of salvation are five in number. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. At that point, the Lord forgives you, adds you to His church. Do you need to do that? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?